be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." But Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." But Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak do not come from myself. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Gave Monsignor the Sunday off today for a homily. We might be surprised to think why the apostles didn't understand what Jesus said when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where I'm going to prepare a way for you." They were thinking like, "Where are you going? What you are talking about? What kind of place you're preparing for us?" But if we remember that Jesus spoke these words before his death and resurrection, we have the hindsight of to know what happened those days between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. At that point in the Gospels, they did not. And that's the works that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the works of him healing the sick, walking on water, creating, you know, bread and food, fish for enough people. It's what he did for us on the cross. He's talking about the work of his obedience to the Father's will, even if that meant death. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass by me, but only if it is your will, not mine." This obedience comes from trust, his trust in his Father, that the Father knows what's best for him, that his Father will always be there for him, even if you could tell that he's going to end up being condemned to death. The work of forgiveness, speaking on the cross, "Forgive him, Father, they do not know what they're doing." The work of caring for his mother despite all his pain and suffering and humiliation, turning to Mary and saying, "This is your son," pointing to the beloved disciple and asking him to take care of his mother. The work of giving himself completely to us, his life, his dignity, every word he said, so that one day we can have share in his eternal life. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for the people of his own time. He died for those who just shouted, "Crucify him too." He died for every one of us. He died for our sins, and we're all sinners, and we need Jesus to be our Savior, to open the gates of heaven for us. That's the work that Jesus is talking about. That's the way that he points to us when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. The work of speaking the truth, even in front of Pilate and the Sanhedrin. He could say, well, no, I am not God. And he could have lived. But he stood with the truth and told them who he truly is, the Messiah, the Savior. That's what Jesus is inviting us to. That's why this early Christian community grew in number, because we think, well, it was easy for them. No. Remember, they lived at a time where Christians were persecuted, thrown to the lions, put in jail, lost all their property sometimes, all their power and position in society. They were crucified, burned in fire alive. It wasn't easy, and yet the church grew in numbers. Why? Because they followed the way of Jesus, the way of truth. When they, despite all that persecution, they kept proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, because they were willing to make those sacrifices that Jesus made for us, because they were willing to make those commitments and give everything they had by sharing with each other what God blessed them with. By coming together to support the work of the church, the work that Jesus commanded us to continue. And today, we all here have that opportunity to walk that same way, the way of commitment, sacrifice, the way of growing the church, and making sure that we continue to proclaim for the future that Jesus is Lord. Last Sunday, we told you this weekend we're going to talk about Commitment Sunday for our campaign, Faith in Our Future. I would like every person, one person from each household, not every person, one person from each household, to raise your hand so the ushers can come down and give you a pledge card. If the ushers can come down, and trust me, I'm not going to force you to do anything with the card, but raise your hand and get a card. Come on, I don't see hands. You get the advantage being high here, you know. Again, even if you pledge, please raise your hand and get a card, and I'll tell you why. It all will become clear. One person, every household. Just to remind you about our campaign, it has to do with building this church, this beautiful church that was built 95 years ago. And you said a few years ago that we'd like to make sure this building will endure some earthquakes, you know, that may happen in the future. Like I said, this building is 95 years old. The roof is mostly the original roof on this building. So one thing we're going to do, part of this project, is putting a new roof. This way will help us to strengthen the church roof from the outside rather than take out all that wood paneling that we have. We gotta put some mesh materials in the walls to give them more strength so they won't collapse. Another area of concern is the towers. You know, earthquakes, usually towers fall. And another area is with the artwork that we have above the doors, especially on Fremont. If that falls down, it'll block the access of the church, and obviously that's not good if we're trying to get people out. So we want to make sure that the place is, when you come here, you feel safe and protected, even if an earthquake, God forbid, happens. The other portion is our education center. That's where we form the future generations of disciples of Jesus Christ, whether in our faith formation program or in our school program. Yesterday at Faith Formation, we had 50-plus children receive their first communion. A couple of weekends ago, we had 90-plus young teens and adults do their confirmation. Next Saturday, we're going to have the second grade class also receive their first communion. That's the work of proclaiming the good news continues to happen here. So does everybody have a card? Raise up your cards. Let me see your cards. That's not enough cards. Give them more cards. Okay, so on the front where you have the logo and that green line, above it there is, you know, squares. It says, I already pledge. If you already did, thank you. You can check that out. Or pledging below, check that out if you're going to do it today. If you still need time to pray about it, that's fine. Check prayerfully considering. And if you don't want to pledge at this time, check the last box. But you can't do that. Nobody can check that box. And then now, just please give us your current information, especially your name, address, phone, email. People these days change phone numbers and email addresses regularly. So make sure we have the correct information. So if you can, please print it legibly so we can read it. Don't worry about the envelope number if you don't want your envelope number. So if you're already pledged, again, thank you. Just write down your information to make sure we can keep in contact with you and communicate with you in the future. The good news is you don't have to give any money today, okay? So don't worry if you don't have your checkbook. But once you fill out the information, then you see those columns. And the last columns, the kind of light green or kind of grayish area, that's your annual, that's the total pledge. And we're asking you to pledge over a 5-year period, not just a single time give. We can never raise $8 million, which is our goal for this campaign, in people giving a one-time gift, because I don't think we have people who can make such a huge gifts once at a time. So it's over a 5-year period. And that's the amount that you can pledge over those 5 years. The other columns tells you how much that amount will be, monthly, annually, quarterly, or annually. For those of you who are joining us on Streamline, watching with us on Streamline, on your screen, there should be a QR code. You can, get your phone, take a picture of that QR code, and then you can do the same process at home and as we're doing it here in the church. And again, please help us out. You share with us, and you're part of our community, although you're separated from us in distance. So the amount pledged, then, check the box of that amount you want to pledge over 5 years. If you're going to pledge a different amount, like $100,000, we're very grateful. Make sure you write that number there on top so we'll know what you're pledging. Okay, that's the tough part. On the back side of the card, that gives you the different ways that you can pay your pledge, fulfill your pledge. You can use credit card, you can use a check, automatic withdrawal, online giving, whatever is more convenient for you. And if you're checking like the credit card, then we need that information down below it. If you don't want to put that information on the card, that's fine, the check like credit card, and then we'll contact you and get that information from you later. But make sure you check one way how you would like to fulfill your pledge. Sometimes people tell me, well, Father, I don't know if I'm going to be alive in 5 years. I say, well, if you pledge a good gift, I'll pray that you'll be alive for 5 years. But again, this is a promise. This is not like a legal document. We're not going to go after your family or your estate to get the money. But it's the reason we ask you to make a pledge, because it's an act of faith. Is saying, Lord, I would like to help you, continuing the work of your son here at Holy Family. I pledge this amount. Help me to be able to fulfill it and take care of all my own, needs and expenses. So I know some people say, well, Father, I feel guilty if I don't do it. You're not guilty. Right, Monsignor? They're not guilty. Say yes, Monsignor. Then at the bottom, it says the pledge start date. And you can put, August, December, whatever you want, which means from that time, we'll start asking you or reminding you about, or you can start paying your pledge. If you do it on your own, you won't hear from us. And again, it says paid monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, and then sign the card and the date. I mentioned we're trying to raise $8 million. We're at $6.3 million. So I know we're getting close, but really we need everyone's support to get us to the $8 million line so we can, have goals, so we can have a successful campaign. We're planning on starting a year from this summer. We're going to divide the project over 3 years because, we'll have to be out of the church for 3 months. We have to be out of the school. So we're going to try to do it during the summer month. Also, I want to thank all of those who already pledged again. And many, some of you here, faces have been helping me with this campaign for the last few months. Thank you for sharing your time and talent and helping us get a successful campaign accomplished. When you're done, raise your card again so the ushers now will come and collect the card from you. Even if you said, I don't want to pledge at this time, this way we don't keep bothering you with emails and reminders and invitations. So raise your card so the ushers can start collecting them. Don, we have some cards in front. Raise your card so the ushers can see you, please. You know, Monsignor mentioned that we had about 300 families who built this church during the Depression. We don't know, most of us know who they are, but one thing we know about them is their work. This is their work. And that tells us they were people of faith. Although we don't know their names, but we know they were people of faith who had that hope that, you know, looking for the future and not thinking only of themselves, but what they can leave as a legacy for future generations. That's who the founders of Holy Family are, and you've always been generous and supportive in continuing the work and the mission of Christ. And hopefully this place will still be standing tall, filled with people 100 years from today, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Again, thank you for your support, and God bless.
Thank you, Father Albert. Fundraising is a challenging endeavor, even in the best of circumstances. Let me just take 2 or 3 minutes to speak about some exegetical insights into that gospel. That gospel is very, very important. It comes from the 14th chapter of the book of John. I want you to look at the gospel of John. The Last Supper in the gospel of John takes 5 chapters. It is much longer than the other Gospels. There are 2 dominant themes. One is the covenant. We are in a covenant with God. We may renege on the covenant, we may relent on the covenant, but God never fails the covenant. No matter what happens in your life, do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. There are many mansions, which includes everybody, not those who think they're in sin or in grace. Many mansions. Love one another as I have loved you. There is no limit, no restriction, no boundary to the love that Jesus speaks about here in the Gospel of John. In the beginning of chapter 13, and again in the beginning of chapter 17, the beginning and the end of this narrative, Jesus speaks about his hour. His hour has come. The Greek word kairos, chronos is a Greek word meaning 60 minutes hour. But kairos means your moment. So once John says that, he says, listen up. This is a kairos moment. So the first teaching is we are in a covenant and nobody is excluded from the covenant. We are all God's people. The second dominant theme has to do with the washing of the feet. Only in John's gospel. But John does not have taking bread and taking wine. He does not have the confection of the Eucharist. Why doesn't he have it? Because John's gospel is very late, about the year 100, 40 or 50 years after Mark. And it appears that in the church of John, there was conflict. And therefore John says, before you think about the Eucharist, wash one another's feet. Make no judgment. Be servant. Be open. Be gracious. Be welcoming. Washing of the feet. Because of conflict. Might be a good teaching for us today to say if we could wash one another's feet figuratively, perhaps we would be a stronger community. Jesus doesn't have the confection of the Eucharist in John, but he has the living of the Eucharist. Eucharist is not just receiving communion. It's becoming Eucharist. We just don't receive Eucharist, we become the Eucharist. When I first came here and we were developing a ministry to the sick, the homebound, I asked a Eucharistic minister to the homebound to only take one person or two persons, no more. Because when you bring Eucharist, it's not just communion. You bring the dog, you bring the cat, you bring the children. You bring bread, you bring the bulletin, you bring life. That's Eucharist. So it's very clear in the Gospel of John that while he doesn't have the making of the Eucharist, he has the living of the Eucharist. That's the powerful, two very powerful themes in this section of John's Gospel. So you might keep that in mind. It should really say something to us. Here's the last thought. I've often wondered myself, if I had a Last Supper tonight, it's the Last Supper now. I was going to die tomorrow. Who would I invite? And what would I say? Who would you invite to your Last Supper? You wouldn't invite the whole parish. Be a very small group. What would you say? What would be your last message you want people to hear? John's Gospel. So take a few moments sometime and read chapter 13 in John through chapter 17. That's the Last Supper. Not only read it, but breathe it. Live this. Allow it to come alive for you. Then the word of God will have impact in your life. Amen.